happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Erin Jones.
And Pride Week has kicked off with events and marches from coast to coast.
Yes, Happy Pride.
Happy Pride
to
you.
Never gets old, does it?
Huh?
Never gets old.
Well, I have to say, this will be the 50th anniversary of my first march this year.
Well, not saying mine, but anyway.
Next, headlines, Biden.
Oh, yes. You stole that one from me. Yes, our lovely President Joe Biden is headed to the Stonewall Inn with Elton John, apparently. And it comes as he is pardoning, not Elton, but Joe, is pardoning soldiers persecuted under the gay sex in the military ban.
We're going to bring you some clips from some Stonewall veterans. Gay USA's founder, the late Lou Moletta, and Philadelphia's Mark Siegel.
And we're a little bit nervous because the Supreme Court has agreed to listen to the challenges about the ban on gender-affirming care in Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah, a lot about that. The Ten Commandments are going up in classrooms. The U.S. Constitution be damned.
And the killer in the Club Q mass shooting in Colorado has been sentenced.
Yeah, that was back in 2022. Mm-hmm. And a killer has been identified in the 1996 murder of a lesbian couple that was hiking in Virginia.
Yeah, that was terrifying. Utah, a lot's happening in Utah. It's shut down, we're calling it a snitch line, for people wanting to report transgender people using restrooms not aligned with their gender of birth.
New York's Equal Rights Amendment is now back on the ballot. It covers sexual orientation and gender identity, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that New Yorkers will support it in November.
And track and field star Sha'Carri Richardson is on her way to the Paris Olympics.
Big news from Africa, Namibia. Their high court there has declared the anti-sodomy law unconstitutional.
And a Filipino gay activist has had a go at the Pope and told him how homophobic his language is.
My favorite story of the week. And then Merritt is going to review a play about Nancy Pelosi and AOC.
Allegedly.
Allegedly
about those women.
Without Holland Taylor.
Yes.
And Anna
Villafania.
Okay. So we start with the president. We are hearing, as we're taping on Wednesday, we're hearing that he's going to be going to the Stonewall on Friday with Elton John. They're going to be opening up their visitor center there for the first time on the same day. But the bigger news with him is that today, as we tape, he has granted a pardon for certain violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice that prohibited homosexual acts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pardon. It's not everything. I mean, he's declared the pardon, but you've got to apply for the pardon, and you still have to go through this whole process of getting upgraded
right.
Your discharge, you know.
Yeah, so you
status.
Can now, if you're active about it, you can have your conviction scrubbed from the record, and you can pursue lost benefits and income.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do that if you were dishonorably discharged and, you know, you didn't do something. I mean, again, if your sexual offense was like rape or something, that's not covered.
It has to be non-forcible.
But I know people who were just thrown out of the military because somebody said, he's gay.
Right.
And they just got rid of, they just were identified and they were thrown out. And it really destroyed their lives.
And ruined their careers.
Yes.
And because once you have a conviction under the armed forces, it's hard to get another job.
So anyway, thank you, President Biden. That's a step there. And let's see. I think we should also, now, of course, some of you are seeing this after the debate. We haven't seen it yet. But the Human Rights Campaign has come out with a new video about the opposition to President Biden. Let's run that.
You're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no. Other than day one. I will sign a new executive order instructing every federal agency to cease all programs that promote the concept of sex and gender transition at any age.
You become president, you might try to appoint justices to overrule the decision on same-sex marriage?
I would strongly consider that, yes. 54 years they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it. I will immediately sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity. We will bring back God to our schools and our public squares, and that will happen very quickly.
And I will restore the Trump ban on transgender in the military.
Well, the ad says take him at his word.
He
doesn't sound very friendly.
No, and this is one deus ex machina after the other. He doesn't believe in any of these things he's promising on doing. He's just aware of what the consequences of his actions, you know, obviously give him a thrill. I mean, the tone in his voice when he talks about Roe versus Wade, and I did it. I was like, wow. I mean, that's incredible to me. But, you know, I feel that he is one of the presidents I observed that, you know, in his last term, he did everything he said he was going to do. And he'll do it again.
And that, well, do it again times 100.
Well, he's
literally 100, because he's got this big plan now when they come in.
Yes.
Project 2025, it's dreamed up by the Heritage Foundation, all these right-wing groups. It is going to be a bloodbath.
And he talks about
a bloodbath. It is going to be a bloodbath for us.
And he's got a score to settle as well. He's got people now he doesn't like. I thought, AOC was not out of line when she said she really is worried that he's going to come for her and lock her up.
Even Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican, very conservative, you know, but he's the one who took Trump on over the January 6th insurrection. He endorsed Biden this week, you know, for president, a Republican.
Yeah.
And some other stuff that happened in the election. Here's some good news, but it's a little crazy. In South Carolina, you know, they had primaries this week. The Trump-endorsed candidate for the U.S. House, Pastor Mark Burns, narrowly lost by like 2 points. The primary to Sherry Biggs. Burns called for the arrest and execution of those who advocate for LGBTQ rights and also promised to revive the House Un-American Activities Committee.
I mean, wow.
So he lost, but by 2 points. All right. Then we have a little controversy. Well, first of all, we have the Supreme Court saying that they're going to hear this challenge to Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. That's going to be heard in the next term. 20 states have passed such bans. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the ban. Our side said it violates equal protection. The High Court allowed Idaho's ban to go into effect, so it's not encouraging. But this is an appeal that the Biden administration sought. They want to settle the issue because we lost at the appeals court, and they want to settle it.
So you don't have a good feeling about this at all?
I don't, but people are mixed about it. They said don't catastrophize over it. But no, not with this court, no.
Yeah.
But then there was the revelation today, because there's a big Alabama case, too, that we're contesting. They have a ban, and we're contesting that. So in the discovery, they found that health officials in the Biden administration, including staff for Admiral Rachel Levine, who is transgender herself, the Assistant Secretary of HHS, they urged the World Professional Association for Transgender Health to drop proposed age limits for their group guidelines on when you can get these procedures. They said, leave it up to the physicians. If you lock these in, it's going to hurt us with a lot of these states. So this is getting a little dicey and ugly. But because the age limits were eliminated, you know, so Republicans are going to run around saying they want no age limits on any of these things. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how the but, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics warned the World Professional Organization that it would not endorse recommendations if they set new age minimums. Mm. So anyway, there's that. And what a week for the Supreme Court. They said it's okay to it's okay to use bump stocks in the mass killings of people.
Right. So they've repealed Trump's, that was his legislation.
Trump. Yes.
But what about the, but they have agreed that letting domestic abusers have guns is not a good idea. So that's the silver lining there.
That is true. And then the other court decision that they ruled that citizens do not have a fundamental liberty interest in bringing non-citizen spouses into the country.
So that means if you're an American citizen and you have a foreign spouse and an immigration person decides not to renew the visa of that foreign spouse, you as the American spouse can do very precious little about...
Shocking.
That is...
There was a 6-3 decision.
Yeah. 6-3, wow.
Justice Sotomayor in dissent warns that the court is on its way to undermining marriage rights for same-sex couples. She said the 2015 marriage equality decision in Obergefell said the right to marry is fundamental as a matter of history and tradition, and excluding a citizen spouse burdens the right to marriage. Same-sex couples may now be forced to relocate to countries that do not recognize same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. or even those that criminalize homosexuality. Mm-hmm. The court has gone too far, she said, just as it did in overturning Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, but this is obviously for the right. It's an immigration issue. They're worried about people just marrying to get the green card.
Well, okay, but this guy was, it's a long story around this particular case, but the issue is the fundamental marriage right. I mean, they thought this guy was a gang member because of his tattoos, and it turned out they weren't. But so, you know, it all should be judged
on its
merits.
Too much control, too much power is in the hands of immigration officials rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it would be... And then it's been 2 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned.
And legal upsets all over the country. And do you know, in 2023, there were actually more abortions. Abortions went up in 2023, according to NPR. So that's an unexpected side effect, isn't it?
except that people have to travel long distances, and pregnant people are forced to travel, and for health care, even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Infant mortality is up in Texas due to this. Well, we say that. And, of course, that's the Supreme Court decision that we're waiting on. The Biden administration is saying if they need emergency care and it involves abortion to save their health, not their lives, but their health, can they do it? And the Supreme Court is holding off on that one, just like they're holding off until after the debate about presidential immunity.
That's so sad. I'm reading so many more traumatic cases of women who are in different trimesters that are having problems with the gestation and not being cared for by health. They have to carry a dead baby to term. I mean, the psychological damage this is going to do on a whole generation of women.
I have to hope, I mean, it's a horrible situation, but I have to hope that this is galvanizing people in terms of the election, especially especially women and anyone who sympathizes with people who can get pregnant. All right, so those are the top news stories, but let's talk about Pride and what's going on with this. The Stonewall Visitor Center is opening on Friday. Again, the president is supposed to visit. Right next to the bar space that was it was the other half of the dive bar that was raided by police in 1969 and sparked a 6-day rebellion that led to an explosion of LGBT groups around the world. That's the significance of Stonewall, by the way, is that there were other uprisings beforehand, but this is the one that led to organizing on an ongoing basis, etc. Anyway, it was that's happening. You can get tickets to it. Go online to StonewallVisitorsCenter.org, and they're time tickets, and they're free. You can go. And I made a visit, and Mark Siegel, the Philadelphia gay activist who was at Stonewall, talked about what the rebellion meant to him.
I suspect now, I've seen people going through this, that you will have tears by the time you get to the end of this. I want to say to you, what this represents is that when people look at Pride today, they think of a party. This wasn't a party. It was a riot. And in a riot, people get hurt, and people are running, and people are scared. That's what happened here this night. Stonewall was not a party. It was serious. The most important thing for me and this wall represents, thank you, Diana, so much for doing this. As she envisioned this wall and she would ask me questions, I said one thing. If you look at history, you will note that there were over 100 riots in the 1960s. Some were racial, some were against the Vietnam War. Why is it that our riot is the only one that people think is a theatricality? That's stereotype. You know, this was serious. People were getting hurt. We were not a Busby Berkeley musical. And so we represent that here in these walls. We represent the fight, the spark that began what we call the gay liberation movement from 1969 on. And so I ask you to enjoy it, and we look forward to your comments. Thank you.
We were not a Busby Berkeley musical.
Right.
Well, we're not an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
They do show people in the kick line saying, you know, the drag queens in the kick line at Stonewall, which did happen. That did happen, but Mark is talking about this. Mark should be down there every day. He should be a permanent fixture there.
Tour guide, but it is interesting that there's an assumption of performativity when it comes to our community, that we had to somehow perform this rebellion, throw a stiletto through the window. I mean, these are tropes that are used about Stonewall. I'm not going to disown all of them. I kind of like a bit of performativity when it comes to our history.
Well, there it is. And, you know, somebody who got involved in the movement just after Stonewall was our associate producer, Bill Bauman.
Yes.
And we told you he was going to be our guest this week, but it turns out he has a conflict today. So we will have him on in the future. Bill Bauman, who joined the Gay Activist Alliance back in the early 1970s, so, which was one of the groups that emerged shortly after Stonewall, after the Gay Liberation Front.
Yeah.
Okay. And then... and because Bill's not here, we're adding some features. We have a video of the founder of the Gay Cable Network, who founded this show back in 1983, I think it was. We came on around 85. Lou Mileta. This is an interview with Lou from 1987. You might recognize the interviewer.
Sunday is Christopher Street Liberation Day, the 18th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion. We'll talk with a man who was there outside the Stonewall Inn in Sheridan Square in June of 1969 and see how far we've come and where we're going. Good evening, I'm Andy Hummond. This is the Gay Week in Review. Tonight we'll talk about Lesbian and Gay Pride Day and more with our panelists Jim Levin and Jean Elizabeth Glass, both of whom are newly elected spokespersons of the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights. And joining us for tonight's program, our producer, Lou Mileta, a veteran of the Stonewall. Let's talk about Lesbian and Gay Pride. Lou Mileta, why were you in the village on the night of the Stonewall?
Well, I was around with some friends of mine. We were walking down Christopher Street when all of a sudden the police cars started coming, and people were pushing each other out of the Stonewall. And there was a great commotion that was going on. I didn't understand what was happening until we saw the police coming down the street with their sticks drawn, their nightsticks drawn, and they were just pushing people out of the way. So we ran into a vestibule. It was just like two or three doors down from the Stonewall with a couple of other people who had just left the Stonewall. And we were asking what was all happening, and they said, well, we finally had enough of the harassment that was going on and decided to fight back. And I thought it was great because every time that we went into a gay bar, you always felt this... like it was the big brother watching. Everything that you did was always circumspect. You tried to hide. People touching. People stopped dancing the minute there was any indication that there were people around that may arrest you. And you were arrested for something.
So what did that prompt you to do that night? Did it prompt you to join right in, or were you a spectator?
Oh, yeah.
What did you do, Lou?
Well, we stopped the bus from coming down the street.
Bus of cops?
No, there was a bus. The bus was, I forgot which bus it was, but the bus on the street couldn't get through. you know. So there's a whole bunch of people in front of the bus and blocked all the traffic. The police finally gave up at a certain point because there weren't enough of them. There were just so many people out in the street that they gave up trying to do anything about it. And these cars were beeping and trying to get through, and everybody was just pushing the cars and rocking them and stopping, just generally disrupting traffic, both on Christopher Street and on 7th Avenue.
You make it sound like there was a real change of consciousness right then and there, that people have been walking around with this anger.
It was mostly the people from Stonewall, and there were a lot of gay people that just joined in from the streets.
Did you know other people who ran the other way when they saw that? I often hear the story about David Rothenberg saying, "I watched from my window, but I was afraid to go down there."
I didn't know of anybody else that had run away from the event. As I said, we just came upon it. There was two other people with me, and we just came upon it and saw it and thought it was a great idea. It was finally fighting back. You know, the 60s were very rebellious times. It was a time that people were standing up for their rights and their opinions, and they did something about it. Certainly, you know, Vietnam was right there, and this was the time that I thought it was a great time for us to make a statement that gay is good, that there is nothing to be ashamed of, that we should be out, that there is no reason that one man can't touch another man dancing, and that another woman and a woman can't go and dance. And I thought it was a great thing to happen.
That Andy Hum was a bit of a cutie, wasn't he?
and you were telling me that can you tell the story about kissing in the park that you were telling?
No.
No, you can't tell that
no.
story.
Okay. I don't want to tell. But okay. I have had friends that up until, you know, it must have been the 60s, you know, they were just innocently kissing in the park, and the police came up to them and broke it up.
And it's not a crime.
No.
But cops get offended. And so that was great. Lou Mileta. And if you want to learn more about Lou, go to our website, gayusatv.org. We have his history there and more history about the show. And that's also where you can sign up for our email to get our weekly email and lots of extras. And we also appreciate all the donations that have come in during Pride Month. And that's great. But if you want more history, now there's an online exhibit about the battle for Intro to the New York City Gay Rights Bill. 1971 to 1986. We were one of the last big cities to pass it because we're so big and conservative. You don't understand this. It's from the LaGuardia and Wagner archives. I'm going to put a link to it in our email. And it's got interviews with all kinds of people, including David Rothenberg, who I mentioned, who was an activist before I was. Mm. I mean, he became an activist before I did. And all kinds of people who were involved in that fight. So we will put that online. Okay.
Important times.
Let's go back to Pride.
They're important times. I love seeing that archival footage. People forget. It's such recent history.
I know.
And you worked so hard. And you dressed so fabulously. The hair.
Oh, well, listen to something. When we started doing this show, I showed up to do the news, and Lou Mileta goes, "I want you in a jacket and tie." That's what he said. And I've pretty much been doing it ever since. I didn't do it last week. It was too hot.
That's right.
All right, back to Pride.
Oh, look, we have lovely news out of Idaho.
Idaho,
yes. Isn't that the potato capital of America?
Yes.
Anyway, there's a little conservative place called Canyon County, and a young man by the name of Tom Wheeler, who's a 27-year-old realtor from Boise, he said to himself, why don't we have a Pride Day? So he got this public park booked, and he thought maybe 50 people would turn up, and it turns out 2,000.
Well, you see that they're putting up a fence and coverings because they were worried about what some of these outside right-wing groups would do.
Yes, and in fact, once he'd announced that this was happening, Facebook, of course, exploded. People started driving by in their trucks. It looked like he was going to be threatened by locals and possibly,
the woman on the left there is from a group called Liberty Dogs.
Liberty Dogs.
Though you would think a group with the word liberty in the name would support free expression.
Look, the part of this that really bugged me, and I think everyone got rather upset, is that the mayor of Canyon County, Debbie Kling, sent out a news release in which she actually said, this event does not reflect my values or the values of our town, but I've been advised by lawmakers that we have to let the public park go ahead and have this event.
And look at the crowd. 1,500 people showed up for this thing.
What a foolish thing to have done as a mayor, to say that part of your constituents, you're not behind them. I mean, that's just not cruel. And she's got a bit of backlash online now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Drag stars visited the Capitol Hill this week. We got a picture of them.
Yeah.
There they are. They met with House leaders on Tuesday, Jiggly Caliente, Bridget Bandit, and Joey J. It was Drag Lobby Day, organized by Move On Political Action, and they were lobbying for the Equality Act, which we still don't have, even though most Americans support it. So at least the Congress members who invited them are not shying away from controversy. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Crockett, the representative, a Democrat from Texas, posted, "You're always welcome, Queens."
Yeah.
And
she responded on Twitter, didn't she, to the post. But they met with a bunch of people, I think about five or six from places like, you know, representatives from Arizona, Texas, I forget what other states. But I think it's really effective to turn up, show yourselves, sit down like a human being and say, we're concerned about this.
And don't be ashamed of the controversy. But listen to what Joey J said. We are just trying to live in peace without being murdered.
Right.
Well, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy. All right. So in New York, pride banners were ripped down at the historic Marble Collegiate Church on Fifth Avenue. It happened in broad daylight on a Sunday. Yeah. I was captured on cameras, but the church chose not to
prosecute.
Make a police report. Yep. It just felt it was sad and ignorant. And in Montclair, New Jersey, the town pride flag was also stolen, but it was replaced on Monday. And in New York, we now have surveillance footage that shows the suspect in the vandalism of rainbow flags at the Stonewall. So this has become a national obsession by the right wing. Well, don't forget that Colorado GOP Republican leader said, burn all pride flags, mm-hmm. burn all rainbow flags. Mm-hmm. The violence is scary.
Mm.
Anyway, should we go? I mean, I realize you're having pride all over the country. In New York, our pride march kicks off on Sunday on Fifth Avenue at 25th, 5th and 5th, four blocks south of the Marble Collegiate Church. The Queer Liberation March kicks off at 11:30 a.m. That's where I'll be, from Sheridan Square on Sunday. We're going to head to Battery Park. The drag march is on Friday evening from Tompkins Square Park. The dyke march is 5 o'clock from Bryant Park, marching down 6th Avenue, and more events in our email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's go to Louisiana.
Yes, do you think they can fix their crime problem by posting the Ten Commandments in public schools everywhere? Do you think that's going to affect anybody?
Well, I posted on Facebook the gay hanky code that men used, and I said this is now required by state law to be posted in every classroom on Fire Island. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it can't hurt. I mean, I don't suppose it's going to hurt, but it reminds me of you do end up when you're in school learning these random things, like, you know, the Ten Commandments, the five food groups, but who says they're true? Who says any of them are true?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a violation of the separation of church and state.
It certainly
but
is.
This Supreme Court has been tearing that down, and this governor, Landry, says, go ahead, sue me. I can't wait till you sue me. I'm going to win on this. Because he says these are the foundational documents that affected U.S. law.
Thou shalt not.
Well, of course, you know, of course, we have a presidential candidate in his party, the Republican Party, who has easily broken all 10 of them and regularly does. So anyway, Andy Borowitz of The New Yorker headlined it this way. Louisiana orders classrooms to display all 10 commandments that Trump has broken. And Texas is teeing this bill up.
That's right.
So it's going to go all across the country. But we have footage of the governor signing this bill, and look what happened in the background.
Mm-hmm. This bill mandates the display of the Ten Commandments in every classroom in public, elementary, secondary, and post-education schools in the state of Louisiana. Respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses. All right. That's right. He got his commandments from God. The rule for us. All right.
Back.
Oh, that poor kid.
That little girl fainted behind him. He's totally oblivious to what's going on. And no one said, Let's take care of the little girl. No. You're here for the kids.
Well, it's a metaphor, isn't it? So much is being done in the name of children that's not really for the children.
He signed a bill at the same time requiring schools to require trans students be addressed by pronouns on birth certificates, which is just nasty.
Yeah.
He said, God gave us our mark. But at least he didn't say, God gave me my penis. I mean, and he signed another bill letting public schools employ chaplains. All this mixing of church and state isn't exactly helping intergroup tensions.
I'm uncomfortable with it. What if you're a person of a different faith and you're sitting there looking at the Ten Commandments? They're not your commandments.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's go to Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots happening in Utah, right? This tip line, now I was confused. Is it a phone line or is it an online form?
I'm not sure, but it's a tip line. I think it's either way, probably both.
I thought the online form they were getting...
Well, let's explain.
Yes.
This is a tip line that if you see some transgender person going into a restroom that doesn't align with their gender identity, let us know and we will prosecute them
right. And
fine the place $10,000.
Right, like that Planet Fitness case. But apparently what's happening, at least with the online form, is it's being flooded with hoax complaints, spam, memes, etc.
That's almost all. They got 10,000 complaints and not a single legitimate violation because people are having a ball just screwing up the system.
None of them are verified.
Right.
I mean, how do you verify that?
I mean, the auditor's office said it's all frivolous and he doesn't like being the bathroom monitor. But, the Sex-Based Designations for Privacy, Anti-Bullying, and Women's Opportunities Act, that's what they called it. I mean, it's just outrageous. This is Utah. I thought you were a little bit more civil out there, but you're not.
Well, while in Utah, of course, we know their LGBTQ resource centers are all being shut down in the colleges. Because of the anti-DEI law. So now at the University of Utah, they're closing its Center for Equity and Student Belonging, its Women's Resource Center, and its LGBT Resource Center.
It's really disgraceful, just disgraceful. And then Governor DeSantis, he just vetoed all arts funding, all of it.
That's to the tune of $32 million that was going to go to culture and the arts.
Just terrible.
A lot of performing arts and visual arts spaces are in a bit of shock because that was part of the earmark for the budget. So,
just terrible.
Yeah.
And here's a shocker, really surprised me, from the Oklahoma Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. They ruled that the state's funding of a religious charter school, Catholic St. Isidore's, was unconstitutional. And this decision was sought by the Attorney General of Oklahoma, Jenter Drummond. And the court said it would evangelize the Catholic faith as part of its school curriculum while sponsored by the state, and that's unconstitutional. And the Attorney General said it's a victory for religious liberty. So, I mean, they were going to be giving this church-run school $25 million over the next 5 years but they still think this school thinks they can go to the Supreme Court and get the money.
Interesting.
And here's the thing: taxpayers' money. These religious schools. Oh, we want to be able to do what we want. We want to be able to fire anybody we want. We don't want to comply with civil law because we have ministerial exceptions, and you have to let us do this. Well, we don't have to give you money to do it. I mean, that's the outrage.
Mm.
Anyway, all right. Okay, let's go to Nassau County.
Yeah, Long Island. Good old Long Island.
This is where I'm from.
It is your stomping ground, huh? Your
yes.
old birthplace. Well, this was disappointing. The Nassau County Legislature voted to ban transgender girls and women from competing at county facilities on teams and leagues that align with their gender identity. So basically, the vote was 12-5, which shocked me.
Yeah. Civil Liberties Union says, we'll see you in court.
Right.
And I don't think this will be upheld in New York.
No.
But they don't care. They just want to make a political statement. And because there's hardly any transgender. I mean, I think they know that there's one because the roller derby group has a transgender member, and
yes.
they sued before mm-hmm. over the executive order to ban this,
yeah.
and they won. So,
NBC reporter who was present for the vote said that there were a lot of people in the audience that shouted out shame.
Nobody from the county testified in favor of this bill, and they passed it 12-5.
Yeah, that's a shock, right?
Yeah. And I worry about New York. our Equal Rights Amendment, which covers sexual orientation and gender identity under the category of sex. It also covers reproductive rights. It's back on the ballot through an appellate court ruling. There was a big kerfuffle over whether it could qualify. And, you know, New York ain't so liberal overall, I don't think. And but so, folks, we're going to have to get mobilized to explain this to people and get it passed this year, because it came up in the 70s and New Yorkers voted down an equal rights amendment. And that just covered the category of sex.
Yeah. Well, Letitia James sounded hopeful about it. And I think the focus is on anti-discrimination and abortion care this time around.
But the other side is going to focus it on transgender rights and distort it.
Yes.
And so that's what we're up against.
Yep.
All right.
There's always something.
Okay. And by the way, we talked about Biden pardoning people for these offenses, you know, sex offenses.
Yeah.
Well, there are LGBTQ veterans suing the Department of Defense saying, you know, when you lifted the ban, you didn't give us our discharges. You're making us jump through hoops, and that's not fair. And so and a judge just said, you can go ahead with your lawsuit against the Department of Defense. I raised this on the call with the White House, the Department of Defense yesterday. We don't comment on litigation.
No. But, you know, following through on that, Tammy Baldwin and Tim Kaine, this is interesting. So we know that Tammy Baldwin is the, she's a Democrat from Wisconsin,
out lesbian.
And, yeah, out lesbian. And Tim Kaine, Virginia, right?
Straight that we know
of. Yeah, straight, but ally. they're leading with support a Senate resolution that apologizes for the mistreatment of LGBT people who served in any of the uniformed services. And what I like about this is it's not just the military now. It applies to the civil service and the foreign service. Everybody from the 1940s through the 90s, the Lavender Scare period, who lost their jobs, whose lives were ruined, who couldn't get work.
I raised that on the call yesterday, too, and they didn't comment on what they were going to do for all the Lavender Scare civilians who were drummed out of employment and
Absolutely.
Things.
I do like this. So it's at the least, it's an apology. I don't know. They want to draft something, don't they? I don't know how.
And I think state governors should pardon everybody who was convicted under the sodomy laws as well.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing that in New York and elsewhere?
I mean, having seen that show Fellow Travelers, it really brought back the terror of those times. And this kept going basically up until, I want to say, Obama's executive order in, was it 2014?
I mean,
when it finally was over.
I mean, there are good things that happen in this country. Every Major League Baseball team has a Pride Night, except
Texas Rangers.
Yes, they won't.
And you know what?
It.
When they're asked, out of 30 teams, they're the only one that doesn't have one. When asked, they come out with the usual, but we're for everybody. We make everybody feel welcome.
All right, let's go over some crime stories because we don't want to run out of time.
No.
Here are the pictures of the five people killed at Club Q in Colorado Springs in November of 2022. They are, and we should say their names, Derek Rump, Ashley Paw, Daniel Aston, Kelly Loving, and Raymond Green Vance. Their killer, Anderson Lee Aldrich, he's already been sentenced to 2,000 years in prison on state charges for the five murders and 46 attempted murders using an AR-15 rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, he pleaded guilty to federal hate crimes charges under the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. So he's already been, Aldrich was then sentenced to life imprisonment to be followed by a 190-year sentence of imprisonment. I don't think he'll be getting out.
No, there's no parole there, no. And moving on to
Well, in the Bronx on Rikers Island, an inmate charged with preying on a trans inmate. He sexually assaulted, threatening them with an ice pick 2 years ago. Kevin Williams, 34, charged with first-degree sexual act and other charges, and so they're finally getting some justice there.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Virginia.
Oh, yeah, this was a terrible case that haunted me in 1996, actually. A lesbian couple who were experienced hikers and campers went camping together in the Shenandoah National Park.
We have a picture of them. They're on the right
in Virginia. Yeah, and they were, now this is Julianne Williams and her partner, Laura Winans. They were in their 20s.
24.
Yep, and this was 1996, which, if you remember, was the real beginning of sort of the lesbian chic era and lesbian visibility. It really was when we were starting to come out and get representation in the media. Number of celebrities were coming out. So, you know, you feel you can go hiking or camping in the national park with your partner. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. But indeed, something did happen. A man by the name of Walter Leo Jackson tracked and ambushed the women very gruesomely. I'm sorry, this is a trigger warning.
Let's put the picture back up. That's him on the left there.
This is a little bit violent, and I'm sorry to upset people by this because it is very harrowing, but he did basically tie them up and raped them, and then he cut their throats. And I mean, it was
his
very
rap sheet included kidnapping, rapes, and assaults. He died in prison in 2018 in Ohio.
But the thing about this case was it was an unsolved case. Nobody knew who had killed these women or why. The FBI were even onto it, and in advancements in DNA and forensic crime investigation led to Walter Jackson, basically, it's a 1 in 15 million chance that it was somebody other than him. He was already in Ohio prison serving concurrent prison terms for rapes, assaults. Sure. And, very
All
sad.
Right. And, more encouraging news, actor and comedian Marlon Wayans. If you know him from In Living Color, posted a pride tribute to his trans son on Father's Day, wishing all a happy pride and saying, "I'm straight. Well, according to my child, a cisgender male, and I just love and support my peoples." He has 7 million followers on Instagram, got lots of support, but when he got pushback, he posted, "Just for the hate mongers, I'm posting another. Zero Fs, what people think. You're hateful, your hate never, you never liked me in the first place."
Do you know, I like that he pushed back and he did this rainbow-themed photo shoot, and he posted, the last time I checked his account, he posted 8 different times. And people like Todrick Hall, Janelle Monáe, and a few others actually reached out and said, "Good on you. We like you. Thank you."
Well, Janelle Monáe, we love her too.
Yes.
A grim story out of Utah in Washington County, St. Mm-hmm. George. A trans woman, Mia Bailey, 28, shot her parents to death. Joseph and Gail Bailey, Mia told police she hated them and she had no remorse. An area resident said there were volatility and bad vibes in the family. Mia also shot into her brother's room, but he was unharmed. Mm. And then years ago, you know, we told you about the murder of Blaise Bernstein, 19,
yes.
University of Pennsylvania student, 6 years ago. Samuel Woodward was charged with the killing, and now he's changing his story. He's trying for like a gay panic defense.
That's right.
He was
going to
out me. Now, this guy was a neo-Nazi out to kill gay people.
I was stoned. I had taken marijuana. I was, they're in a park with a sleeping bag and a picnic. I mean, you know.
They were high school classmates.
Yeah.
I don't think his defense is going to work.
No.
All right. Disney paid a big price in Florida for finally standing up to DeSantis on Don't Say Gay. But like a lot of other corporations, they're all giving money to these anti-gay candidates. This is exposed by Popular Information. They report that 25 rainbow flag-waving companies donated $18 million to anti-LGBTQ candidates. Long list. It's very discouraging. Deloitte, AT&T, Comcast, Walmart, United Health, a lot of CVS, a lot of places I use. Stop funding the bigots and we might have a better country.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
And how about the U.S. Olympic trials?
Yes. Well, jumping ahead to that. All right. Let me get... Oh, yes. We've got... Sha'Carri Richardson. So she is 24 years of age. And she is out as bisexual, by the way, and she is known for track and field and sprinting, especially. She's very good with 100 meters.
But she got cut out of the Olympics last time.
Well, because she tested positive for THC, and there were traces of that in her urine sample.
Yeah.
But this time, I think she said she was under stress, and also where she lives, I believe, it's okay. I mean, this is one of the problems with state-by-state laws. She'd found it customary to do that where she lived. But, of course, for the trials, good news is she has qualified and...
she ran the 100 meters in 10.17
seconds. That's her race. That's her race. I wish her luck. Hopefully she's favorite.
Should we go to international
news?
Yes, please.
Ready? Yeah. What's happening in Namibia?
Namibia, which used to be part of South Africa, is its own country now. The High Court there declared that laws banning gay sex are unconstitutional, and it was supported by the movement there. There were visible activists. We got a picture of them out there. Abolish the sodomy law.
Yep.
The case was brought by Namibian gay activist Friedel Dosab. We got a picture of him, too, who said, "It won't be a crime to love anymore."
What a great photo.
Consensual same-sex activity is a crime in more than half of African countries, and maybe again in the United States if Justice Clarence Thomas has his way. He says he wants to reinstate that law. The decision in Namibia can be appealed by the government within 21 days, so we'll see what they do.
We'll see, but that was done with the support of a British-based organization, the Human Dignity Trust. This is, of course, an old colonial anti-sodomy law, right? So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we always try to sell the African countries, hey, you know, these laws came to you from Britain or France or wherever. Maybe you want to get rid of them, but, you know.
They're deeply embedded, though.
They are very. Homophobia is more deep than just that, and they don't seem to resent the colonial association.
Yeah.
All right. My favorite story of the week. Gay activist in the Philippines, Jack Lorenz Acevedo Rivera, a student at the University of Manila, was on a Zoom call with Pope Francis. It was a panel discussion on building bridges across Asia Pacific. It was on YouTube, and he was wearing a rainbow sash and took the Pope to task.
I, myself, am outcasted and bullied due to my bisexuality, my gayness, my identity, and being a son of a single parent. My mother cannot divorce my father. Please allow divorce in the Philippines and stop using offensive language against the LGBTQIA+ community.
Of your mother that cannot divorce your father or discrimination due to sexual identity or orientation or gender discrimination.
Concepción un poco social, moderna.
In the modern social notion, women are considered to be second-class citizens, whereas men are actually first-class citizens.
So the female voice you heard there was the interpreter
for the Pope.
But
Jesus.
I mean, so he did speak out against discrimination, but he did not apologize for using the term faggotry when it comes to us. And that's what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. In the United Kingdom, a soldier who was court-martialed in 1983 for kissing another service member when he was stationed in Berlin, Steve Close, 61. He spent 6 months in jail for the kiss and was put on the sex offense registry. Well, homosexual relationships were banned in the UK armed forces until 2000. Close's conviction for gross indecency was pardoned in 2013, along with Alan Turing's, but his conviction had kept him from working with children or joining the police force or fire services. He says he now that he can wear his badges, which was the decision this week, he can now participate in Remembrance Sunday services with pride.
Yes,
this is very meaningful.
It is meaningful, and he said it gave him real closure.
Yeah. What about Hungary?
Yes. The gay U.S. ambassador who has a male partner and is raising two sons, I believe, in Hungary is taking on...
him on the right.
Yes,
David
this is David Pressman. He spoke at a Pride event. Initially, though, he wanted... this was in Budapest. But initially, he wanted these remarks to be made in the parliament, but they refused to let him in. But basically, he has really lamented Hungary's listing to the right. And he says, what much of the democratic world saw as a cautionary tale, Hungary's government seems to have embraced as a model. He also had a go at Orbán on Twitter, I remember. Orbán joined Twitter and he said something like, where's my good friend Donald Trump?
God.
And Pressman said, goodness me, of all the people you want to basically find on here.
That's encouraging. And the French elections for the assembly are coming up. President Macron, though, this week lashed out at the left-wing parties, the New Popular Front Alliance, for a proposal in its platform to let people change their gender designations at town halls. He called the idea grotesque and he's being accused of using a vulnerable minority to hold on to power.
Now, what's happening in the UK? You think the Tories are going to lose everything in a landslide?
Well, we've been telling you how transphobic they are, and that's one of the only issues they're clinging to. Now, there's 640, 650 seats in the parliament. They expect that the Tories may hold on to 53 seats.
Ooh.
I mean, it may not come out to that number. They're going to lose. Rishi Sunak's already looking for work.
They've been in power for a long time, though. I think it's time the
14 years.
It's time the pendulum swung the other way.
I just hope that the Labour Party can do more than that in its platform, because they're way behind the eight ball there in Britain.
Yeah.
All right. In AIDS news, a federal appeals court, the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, found a key part of the Affordable Care Act that grants federal regulations power to regulators power to require insurers to cover preventive stuff, including PrEP, to be unconstitutional. Mm. Now, this only applies to the Texas businesses that sued over this, but it may end up in the Supreme Court. And it's a big blow to, it could be a tremendous blow to people getting, trying to stay on PrEP, which is keeping them from getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
PrEP use increased 60% from 2019 to 2022 due to the mandated coverage. If it is overturned, there are states that still mandate it, 15 states. Well, those are blue states.
Yes, of course.
Entertainment news.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm going to let you do this. We want a correction on the pronunciation of the gay star of Doctor Who.
Oh, well, my understanding was it's Nshuti Gatwa.
Yes, that is his name. He's a wonderful actor. He's co-starring without Jonathan Groff on Doctor Who. Groff just won, by the way, won Best Actor in a Musical for Merrily We Roll Along, which we learned is going to be captured on film. And we'll let you know when you can see it. And Richard Linklater, the director, is doing Merrily We Roll Along, which works backwards.
Oh, yes.
And he's shooting it with young actors now, including Ben Platt. And he's going to shoot it over 20 years, like he did with Boyhood.
Oh.
As they get older, they'll end up playing the older roles, which is what you see at first in the show.
Wow.
It's a wonderful show. Anyway, by the way, Gatwa was born in Rwanda in 1992, and his family fled the genocide there.
Mm.
But he used to work in gay clubs, and he was homeless when he got the role in Sex Education, which he was.
Oh, that's incredible.
Eric Effiong, a gay character, and he won a BAFTA Scotland Award for that.
So good in
that. He was also in Barbie as artist Ken.
That's right.
All right, by the way, we missed one of the big gay winners in the Tony Awards. Stereophonic was written by out gay David Ajmi. There's he with the beard in the middle. We skipped him. His most famous play was something called 3C, which was a satire on Three's Company, which I saw years ago. He won, but it took 3 years. Stereophonic is on at the John Golden Theater. Ajmi grew up in Brooklyn's Syrian Jewish community and wrote a memoir about that. And I have another correction from our viewer, Andrew Taines. I counted Justin Peck, the choreographer of Illinois, as one of the gay winners. Nope. Got a female wife. So as far as his sexuality is concerned, I actually haven't talked to him about it. But anyway, we thank you for that correction. Andrew, now, you saw a play this week.
Oh, I'm going to hold up my playbill because I like this Pride banner. It's on all the playbills for this month. It's really lovely. But look, I mean, you don't really have to be a political person to love this play.
What's the play?
But it helps. The play is called N.A. And look at those people. N for Nancy, A for AOC, allegedly. But it's not. They're not even named in
Oh, they don't the, name them in the
no,
play.
No, 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 no. So
it's sort of based on generational differences.
It is.
Congress members.
It's a House Speaker with an establishment
and
House Speaker
who's
with five
playing,
children.
Look who's playing Nancy.
Well, one of my
Nancy character.
Well, the N character, we call her N, is played by Holland Taylor. Now, this was my first time seeing Holland on stage. I didn't see Anne. I'm obviously watched her in film and television.
And when she played Anne Richards.
Oh, yes, yes. But what a treat. She really is terrific. Both of them are wonderful and perfectly matched, I felt. Anna Villafañe is uncanny. She's uncannily like AOC in energy, appearance, everything about
her. And AOC blew out her election, her primary. You know, the people went after her, But she won this week by 80% or something.
Oh, I love this play because, first of all, Holland's terrific. So what she does with her body, her hands, her voice and her eyes, she is really a masterclass in acting. Every line, every word is very carefully considered to its fullest power. But do see this play because it's very dialectical. You have the old guard who's perceived as establishment, and then you have the new guard coming in who basically doesn't see anything except her privilege, not her own privilege, but N's privilege. And, of course, rather than be on the same side, they're at loggerheads. And I think it's a very interesting meditation on what is wrong with the Democratic Party right now.
You've convinced me. I'm going to go see it tonight.
Yeah, you're
actually
going to enjoy
had tickets,
it.
But I can't join in this review. But everything I've heard about the play is great.
You know, and it's funny. There's a few moments where really the dialogue's beautifully done, and it's laugh out loud.
Who wrote it?
Oh, golly. I always neglect the playwright. I shouldn't, should I? Because I really do like plays myself. It's a male. Sorry, okay. Mario Correa, sorry. Chilean U.S. playwright.
All right, interesting. All right, in terms of things that are coming up, Nathan Lane and Matt Bomer are to star in a gay version of Golden Girls with Linda Lavin there from Ryan Murphy on Hulu called Mid-Century Modern, created by the producers of Will and Grace, with Bomer as the Betty White character, Nathan Lane playing the Dorothy character, and Linda Lavin will play
the Sophia
Lane's
character.
Mom. Yes, yeah. Sophia. It's set in Palm Springs. It's a show about gay men of a certain age. Hmm. Matt Bomer is playing a gay
How
man
do you
of a
feel
certain
about
age.
That?
I think. Well, we're all getting on. All right, and then by the way, Doyle, the Auctioneers had their big Stephen Sondheim auction. 454 lots from Stephen Sondheim's homes and collections. The prices were like 10 times what they estimated.
Yep.
There's some views of just some sketches. I mean, that was estimated at $1,200. It brought $12,800.
Yes.
His first royalty check from 1948 for 74 cents, which he never cashed when he was 18, was estimated at $200. It brought
$20,480. Wow.
Just amazing. But he's beloved. All right. Okay, following up on Anne's reviews of Queer Planet, a viewer alerted us to a new study from the American Museum of Natural History that found same-sex sexual behavior in the animal kingdom is far more common than, part of it is the researchers never wanted to report on it. So we're going to link to these studies in our email if you care to find out what's going on with our fellow species. And they're mostly, a lot of it is with mammals, but it happens among other species as well.
And we have to extend a rainbow welcome to Louisa Jacobson, who's actually one of Meryl Streep's daughters. She's come out apparently on Instagram. There she is in the red selfie with her partner, the producer, Anna Blundell. She's a star of the Gilded Age. I think she's being a Streep Gummer progeny. We didn't think she'd be gay, but isn't that wonderful that she apparently is?
There she is. And what she posted about it is, blessed to be entering the joyful new era. We hope you're all entering a joyful new era.
So.
I know there's a lot of stress these days, but being out is powerful.
It should be fun and powerful and lovely.
She's not shying away from it. Yeah.
I'm so happy because she's one of my favorites. So lovely. Welcome.
Well, we've been very busy this week. We've had to cover 8 days of news, and
yes.
It's been great to be with you. And what else do you have planned? What are you going to be doing this weekend?
I'm busy this week doing some ally stuff and going to some pretty fabulous New York events. But this weekend, I'm always up for the Dyke March. I think it's always very fun.
Yes.
People love it.
That starts in Bryant Park around 5 o'clock and people march downtown. It's just a march.
Absolutely. Happy Pride, everybody.
Yes, and it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you, Maren.